Well, good morning, all. Good morning, church. The Bible says, in the year that the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorpost and threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. In that day, the Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
Amen. Today, we want to talk about borderline believers. I read this text and I thought, you know, there's a lot of similarity between then and now with us as individuals and us as a nation. If you'll stand with me as I read one verse, chapter 13 of Joshua, verse 8. And it reads simply this: "The other half of Manasseh, the Reubenites and the Gadites, had received the inheritance that Moses had given them east of the Jordan, as he, the servant of the Lord, had assigned it to them." Let's pray. Our most gracious Father, we praise you for this day. We thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for who you are and for what you're accomplishing here in and through us and throughout this world. Lord God, thank you for giving us the joy and the privilege and the pleasure of gathering together to worship you, Father, in spirit and in truth. May we open our hearts to you, our minds to your truth, Lord Jesus, and grant that we would have the wisdom to act on whatever it is that you call us to do. Thank you, Lord, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All righty, please be seated. Unless you want to stand for the whole sermon. You know, some of you are probably wondering, why were there 2.5 tribes that stayed east of the Jordan River? Thought you'd never ask. Glad you did. You see, they were a nation divided. Divided is what happens when not all of your tribesmen, not all of your believers are focused on the same object of worship. Hence, we have 21st century America as well. But you'll see some parallels here between Israel and the United States, as well as between the Israelites and you and me as individuals. You see, this simple verse talks about the distribution of the land. We find that Joshua is doling out the inheritance as Moses had prescribed, as God had prescribed through Moses. And this is the division of the lands that had been conquered among the 12 tribes of Israel. The problem with that is that only 9.5 tribes settled in the promised land. 2.5 tribes decided they would settle east of the Jordan River, not in the promised land. The Bible says it was the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and half tribe of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, approached Moses to settle on the eastern side of the Jordan and not in the promised land. That's in the 32nd chapter of Numbers. Well, Moses took issue with him about this request, and he said, "Are you saying that you no longer want to be a part of the Israeli nation? Are you saying that you no longer be part of us? God will not allow that to happen. God will not bless you. You're telling us to go and fight on your behalf, and you're not joining us in the conquest of the Holy Land, of this promised land." So these 2.5 tribes says, "Oh, no, Moses, That's not it at all. You see, what we are asking to do, we will arm ourselves. We will join you in this battle. We will go across the Jordan River and will fight with you to conquer the lands that God has given you. Yet, when we're finished, we want to settle back east of the Jordan. Well, they agreed to fight with the Israelites to have the land to raise their cattle and sheep. Numbers 32, 20 and following, Moses said to them, "If you will do this, if you will arm yourselves before the Lord for battle, and if all of you will go armed over the Jordan before the Lord until he has driven his enemies out before him, then when the land is subdued before the Lord, you may return and be free from your obligation to the Lord and to Israel. And this land will be called your possession before the Lord." Sounds good? No. It reminds me of so many believers today who are willing to compromise the promises of God in order to settle with something less. And this is exactly what they were doing. They see the lands here east of the Jordan. They were cattlemen. They were shepherds. They saw this as perfect land for grazing their herds and their flocks. And so this is their request to Moses and ultimately to Joshua. As Joshua was given that word from Eleazar, the high priest, through Moses, this is the word that has come to Joshua, and this is the settlement that's going to happen. Well, they put Reuben, the tribe of Reuben, in the south, the half-tribe of Manasseh in the north, and sandwiched in between the two tribes was Gad in between. And all of this is chartered out in the 13th chapter of Joshua. You see, these tribes became the buffer zone between the heathen nations of Moab and Ammon. So we have this group of people, these 2.5 tribes, who have determined, you know, we think we've got a better idea. Lord, we're looking over there at Canaan, we're looking at the promised land, and yet we think this is better for us. Well, we want to be a part of the nation of Israel. We just don't want to be physically there, spiritually there, emotionally or mentally there. This is who we are as a nation. This is who we are as people. We come before God and God says, "Listen, I've got all of these promises laid out for you. All you have to do is be obedient." Well, we start negotiation. What if, Lord? What if we maybe settle for maybe half of that or just a little of that? And while we're doing it, we can do our own thing. While we're doing it, we can be a part of what we think is the right way. Well, this leads me to the second point, which is their distraction. The Bible says, interesting recount of these 2.5 tribes and others, is that this distraction was their human passions. The Bible tells us in Numbers 25 that the Moabites tried to persuade Balaam to put a curse on the nation of Israel. That didn't work. Balaam, three times he sought the Lord's advice on this, and three times God said, "You will not curse who I bless, and I have blessed the nation of Israel." And so Balaam said, "I'm only going to say what comes out of my mouth is what the Lord wants me to say, and that's all that I'm going to say about this particular situation." Balak, the king of Moab, said that then this is what we're going to do. So they got some of the Moabite women, And the women seduced the men. I'm sure the men obviously wanted to be seduced. I mean, it takes two to tango. And so these men who had been seduced by these Moabite women also offered sacrifices to the Moabite gods. Not a good thing. You see, when we decide that we don't really want to fulfill God's promises or to be recipients of all that God has for us, we start compromising in other areas of our life. You see how that works with the children of Israel. And so these Moabite women, when Satan can't defeat you by numbers or by force, he's going to seduce you, because that's the way Satan works. And Satan, being the seductor that he is, had them not only seduced to their earthly passions, but also to their pagan gods. And God became angry with them. Well, they were distracted by these human passions, but this compromise always does that. And they were distracted by their business interest. They were cattlemen and shepherds, by the way, and they knew that there were fortified cities, and they were not only going to fortify them further, they were going to build additional cities as well in that area. This was their idea. We'll get our wives and children, and we'll build cities, but our cattle and our sheep will have pastures. They had already seen that this was a land, the promised land, flowing with milk and honey. This was an area that they needed for the not only the production of crops, but for feeding of their cattle, sheep, all of those things. So sometimes, not only do our human passions get in the way of our obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes our business interests do the same. How many times have people been asked to sacrifice their morality on the altar of net profit? And it happens. Believe me, it happens on a daily basis. You know it. Those of you that have been involved in business, you know it happens. They saw an opportunity. Then the pasture land was there. They had to do nothing to it. It was already there, prepared for them. Is this where we should have stayed, even though it's a business venture? Or should we have been obedient and gone into the land of promise? Well, and then there was these other self-interest. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." These self-interest, whether they're your hobbies or whether they're some other type of interest with yourself, with your exploits, whatever the case might be. Sometimes we let our own self-interest get in the way of our commitment, our dedication to what the Lord has asked us to do. Sometimes when we think about our schedules, for example, someone gives us a call and says, you know, there's a person I'd like for you to visit. There's a person that I know needs Jesus Christ. And then we think, well, I don't know. The schedule is pretty full. Maybe next month. And next month never comes. There is that self-interest that tends to get in the way of this particular situation. Well, so what happened to the 2.5 tribes? Again, I'm glad you asked. Because it did not end well for them. The Bible tells us in Joshua 22 that it created serious problems for their children. And then in Numbers 22 through 25, when you read that entire account of Balaam and Balak and all of this, 1 Chronicles 5:25 through 26 puts it this way. But they were unfaithful to the God of their ancestors and prostituted themselves to the gods of the peoples of the land whom God had destroyed before them. What happens with us when we try to compromise our convictions and ask God to just give us a portion of your blessings, Lord? This is what we really want to do. We want to live on our terms. We want to live where we desire to live. And we want to do only the promises that may be good for us. Maybe not. But it's our life after all, Lord, isn't it? And we want to do what we want to do, when we want to do it, where we want to do it, with whom we want to do it. And we determine the rules of the game. And that's exactly what these 2.5 tribes did. They had been allowed to determine the rules before Moses and decided not to become a part of this nation of faith in the promised land. They wanted to stay across the river to the east of Jordan River and raise their family there. But then the scripture says, but they were unfaithful to the God of their ancestors and prostituted themselves to the gods of the people of the land whom God had destroyed before them. Do you see that here? It is said that we in our nation are probably one generation away from atheism. We've seen it in Western Europe. I can remember being the naive guy that I am at times. We were on a tour one year in Amsterdam on our way to a mission field, and we were on this bus, and I was in my early 30s at that time. This tour guide was in her mid-20s, and I see this church building with scaffolding all around it. And of course, in my naivete, I asked the tour guide, I said, wow, that church must really be growing. Looks like they've got a building project going on. She looked at me and started laughing. She said, really? And I said, is that not right? She said, nobody goes to church here anymore. She said, they've turned that building into a museum and they're just renovating it. And I said, a museum. That's what our churches in America are becoming more like. Museums. Not living, vibrant families of faith. Not people who are worshiping the risen, living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I've seen some of the great cathedrals of Europe and other places. And you go in there, you may see a smattering of people. What happened? Well, all of a sudden the compromises started. God said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to be faithful to me, to be attached to the vine by Jesus Christ. You allow your faithfulness will allow me to be fruitful through you. And all of a sudden we start compromising. Well, you know, I know you wanted me to do this, but I had other things going on. Lord, it's busy down here on planet Earth. Do you know how many activities we have down here? Do you have any idea, Lord? I mean, if you just had come down here, we're really engaged in a lot of things. We've got plays, we've got sports, we've got friends, we've got activities, we've got hobbies, we have interests. Man, we're busier than ever. And then add to that, we got doctor's appointments. Your calendar is full. I have no room for anything else. And it affects our financial faithfulness. It affects our emotional faithfulness. It affects our physical faithfulness. It affects everything about us. And before long, that person that you were when you walked the aisle and committed your life wholly and fully to the Lordship of Jesus Christ is simply a shadow of the person that you once were now. What is it? Well, what happened to that 2.5 tribes of Israel that same verse in 1 Chronicles 5 says, so the God of Israel stirred up the spirit of Pul, the king of Assyria, that is Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, who took the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh into exile where they are to this day. They are no more. What happened to them? Well, how many times have you looked around and seen empty seats once occupied by people who were fully committed to the Lord Jesus Christ? When you think back in your life, how many times have you thought about that one person? You know, that teacher that I once had, or that pastor, or that person that was so influential, that friend of mine in my life who led me to the Lord, or who helped me to develop in the Lord Jesus Christ. That one person, I don't know where they are. I haven't seen them for quite some time. Or you may be around coffee or tea, and somebody says, have you seen so-and-so? No, I haven't. Where are they? I don't know. But life is busy, and we fill it with busyness and not with the Lord. And so we begin to compromise our walk with the Lord. We begin to compromise His provision. We begin to compromise His promise. We begin to compromise who we are. The promised land is right there. You know, the Pilgrim's Progress talks about a particular man who has bent over and digging through garbage cans for whatever he could eke out to survive. And the image is, there's an angel with a golden crown studded with diamonds standing behind him, offering it to him. But he's too busy in the muck and the mire of the world to even know what awaits for him if he were just obedient. That's our picture today. So my question to you is, as you look back not only on the lives of your family and friends, but on your own personal life, have you found yourself to be a borderline believer? Somebody who's willing to settle east of the promises of God and not really willing to pursue whatever it is that God has for you? Is this you? Is this something that has happened to you? And it doesn't happen overnight. The compromises become small until they become comfortable. And then when they become comfortable, there are more compromises that happen. And we get comfortable in this world. People look at us and they say, I don't see much difference between a believer and an unbeliever. When I look at your life, is there a difference? Has the compromise happened? So, are you divided? Have you gotten so distracted that the world has become more impressionable to you than the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Or, because if that happens, you will be defeated as a believer. And unfortunately, some who had bought into all of this world that the world has to offer are going to ultimately be defeated. When the day comes, the enemy will take you away to his eternal dominion, and you won't reside in God's promises, in his promised land that he's given you for all eternity. There are those of you today that have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Today, I would strongly encourage you to open your hearts, your minds, to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin, come into your life, and make you what he wants you to be. And what a glorious journey that will be. Others of you have trusted Christ, but you've never followed him in public profession of faith or baptism by immersion. This is your opportunity to come forward and indicate this is what the Lord wants you to do. And then others are looking for a church home. We've got a fantastic church family here. Amen. We'd love to have you join us and help us to become stronger in the Lord, to grow toward whatever it is that the Lord has for us. And we want to help you grow as well. So this invitation is for you, and I'll be here at the front to pray with you about any of these decisions the Lord is leading you. Would you stand with me as we sing the hymn of invitation, and won't you come as the Lord so directs?